Blog Talk Radio.
Your breath is like rain, your word it sustains me. I've come to this place with intentions of finding you. Your truth is a lamp, your wisdom my light. I'm seeking your face with intentions of finding you. Finding you, I would.
Everybody, welcome to Prolific Fire. I'm your humble host, Prophet Stacy. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to join me on tonight. Thank you, those of you that are on the phone line. Thank you for tuning in on tonight. Thank you, the ones that are online, the ones that are on the podcast on iTunes. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to be with me on tonight. I pray that the word of the Lord is a blessing unto you on tonight. The first song I played on tonight to open us up was Treasure by Desperation Band. The second song was Goodness of God. It's Bethel Music featuring Jen Johnson. With that being said, everybody, let's get right into it for tonight. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, I ask, God, that you give me the strength, God, to bring forth this message, God, the way that you gave it to me, Lord God, that somebody may get the understanding that they need on tonight. Sit me down, Lord God, and use me to your glory, that your name may get every ounce of the glory that you deserve. In the name of Jesus, amen. Tonight, the foundational text comes from Psalms 38, verses 5 through 11. From the New International Reader's Version. Psalms 38, verses 5 through 11, from the NIRV. David says, my wounds are ugly. They stink. I've been foolish. I have sinned. I am bent over. I've been brought very low. All day long, I go around sobbing. My back is filled with burning pain. My whole body is sick. I am weak. I feel as if I've been broken in pieces. I groan because of the great pain in my heart. Lord, everything I really want is clearly known to you. You always hear me when I sigh. My heart pounds. My strength is gone. My eyes can hardly see. My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay far away from me. In tonight's text, David is sick, physically sick, sin sick, just sick. And he's got people avoiding him because of his wounds, which is understandable to a certain extent, especially during the winter months here in the States. Seems like we are all trying to avoid catching a cold, avoid catching the flu, etc. And in doing so, that means avoiding direct, close contact with those who are coughing, sneezing, etc. So, in that same way, David's friends and companions, as well as his neighbors, were avoiding him in tonight's foundational text, not wanting any part of what he had contracted, not wanting any part of what he had contracted. However, he had contracted it. But here's the thing, though. That's not the first time David had been avoided. People, his own people, had been avoiding him ever since he was young. People, his own people, had been avoiding him ever since he was young. Though he was young in health and nothing like he appears in tonight's text, they still chose to avoid him. They still chose to avoid him. So what's the logical excuse for that? Not just David, but many of you are wondering the same thing. Why are my family members avoiding me? Why are my coworkers and so-called friends all of a sudden avoiding me? Why are you avoiding me? Why are you avoiding me? Tonight's message. In 1 Samuel 16, David was young and perfectly healthy. David was young and perfectly healthy with no sickness in sight, and still his family members were avoiding him. But why? Think with me. You know I like to make you think on prolific fire. In 1 Samuel 16, David was out in the field tending to his father's sheep. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say David spent the night out in the field with the sheep. So just imagine him coming in the house after a hard day's work in the field and overhearing his brothers talking about something. But the minute they see him, they shut up, and one by one they make their exit out of the room, his father Jesse included. Somebody under the sound of my voice, you can relate. You know exactly how it feels to walk into a room and the conversation just shut down. You know exactly how it feels to walk into a room and the conversation just shut down the minute they look and see you. And you know with every fiber of your being, they were talking about you. And you know with every fiber of your being,
that they were talking about you. You just know you inadvertently walked in and overheard what was them talking about you. And it could be the reason why the Bible says, don't listen to everything people say. Don't listen to everything people say, or you might hear your servant insulting you. Don't listen to everything people say, or you might hear your servant insulting you. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 21, from the New Century Version. You might hear your servant. You might hear people insulting you, your own people even. Beloved, they keep their distance from you. They avoid you like you're sick and contagious. They insult you, and they avoid telling you stuff, which only proves they really don't want anything to do with you, which only proves they really don't want anything to do with you. David's own family avoided him, avoid telling him stuff. They avoided him. They avoided telling him stuff. They kept him at arm's length, not wanting anything to do with him, which would explain why he was back out in the field and the only one among them that didn't know the prophet Samuel was coming to his house to anoint the next king, which would explain why he was back out in the field and he was the only one among his brothers that didn't know the prophet Samuel was coming to his house to anoint the next king. They avoided him like he was a virus. They ignored him like he wasn't a vital part of the family. And people are treating you the same way. You know exactly what David was going through because people are treating you the same way. Family members, co-workers, your in-laws, they avoid you like you have a virus. They ignore you like you're not family, like you're not a co-worker working the same job as them, like you're not a vital part of wake up, like you're not a vital part of what makes the office run smoothly, etc. But why? Why are you avoiding me? That's the question. But why? We're going to answer it on tonight. But why are you avoiding me? Let's look at David's life for the answers. Let's look at David's life for the answers. Back when he was healthy and strong in 1 Samuel 16, like he appears in tonight's foundation to take all sickly and frail. We're not going to look at that. Let's look at David when he was healthy and strong and find out what the problem was in 1 Samuel 16, why people were avoiding him. And you will also find out why people are avoiding you. Number one, people are avoiding you because they are secretly in competition with you. People are avoiding you because they are secretly in competition with you, and nobody likes to be outstaged. When Samuel requested that David be brought in from the field, the Bible says David was a picture of health. He was bright-eyed and good-looking. 1 Samuel 16, verse 12 from the Message Bible. Even after working in the field, getting dirty all day, even after coming in smelling like sheep, he still managed to be good looking, and it made them sick. And it just made them sick that even though he was out there in the field working hard, getting dirty, tending to sheep, he still managed to look good, and it just made them sick. Because you don't look like where you came from, and somebody, because you don't look like where you came from, but you actually look better. Somebody is watching you and is secretly in competition with you. Because you don't look like where you came from, but you look better than where you came from too. Somebody is watching you and is secretly in competition with you, and you're making them sick. So they try to avoid you at all costs. Number two, people are avoiding you because no matter what they call you, what kind of word occurs, they try to speak over you, nothing is affecting you. People are avoiding you because no matter what they call you, what kind of word occurs, they try to speak over you, nothing is affecting you. You're still you. You're still you. So they can't use their little evil powers. So they can't use their little evil powers to hurt you, to mess with your mind. And since they can't do that, they avoid you. When asked if he had any more sons, David's own father referred to him as the runt. Well, yes, there's the runt, but he's out tending the sheep. Samuel 16, verse 11 from the Message Bible. Runt is defined as an animal that is smaller than average, especially the smallest in a litter. It is also defined as an undersized or weak person. Even after his father had dehumanized him in character by talking about him like a dog, like an animal, and at best, he was a human, undersized and weak. Still, David carried himself not like a teenage boy. He didn't carry himself like a teenage boy, but he carried himself like a man twice his age. Still, David carried himself not like a teenage boy, but like a man twice his age, taking care of his father's sheep, handling his business, proving he was indeed a responsible person, despite his size. A word for somebody. The same people avoiding you are the same people that talked about you. The same people avoiding you are the same people that talked about you. They talked about you like a dog. And when their insults, when the rumors they spread it about you didn't offend you as much as they had hoped, when they realized unbeknownst to them, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, Isaiah 54:17, New King James. When they realized that no word weapon, no word curse, no weapon period would form against you and prosper. It'll form, but it wouldn't form and prosper. They left you alone and started avoiding you. Even the devil had enough sense to leave Jesus alone for a while after tempting him in every way and failing. After the devil had tempted Jesus in every way, he left him to wait until a better time. Luke 4:13, New Century Version. Number three, people are avoiding you because they're jealous of you. Wow. I'm sure you knew that already. But people are avoiding you because they're jealous of you. They see the strength you display and how nothing seems to get you down for long. They see the strength that you display and how nothing seems to get you down for long. On the other hand, every little thing that comes up defeats them, takes them down, gets them depressed. And they just don't understand how come you don't operate like that. In 1 Samuel 17, David spoke up and told Saul how the Lord had given him the victory over lions and bears. Not even lions and bears had been strong enough to defeat him. Not even lions and bears had been strong enough to take him down. They tried to take you down. They tried to get you down. Get you to feeling as defeated and depressed as them. You know the old saying, misery loves company. And when they couldn't get you to join their pity party and be miserable with them because you're too strong for that, they started avoiding you. They want you to be just like them, and since they couldn't change you, they couldn't get you to feel defeated and depressed, they couldn't pass that spirit on to you, they started avoiding you. Number four, people are avoiding you because they're afraid of you. Believe it or not, people are avoiding you because they're afraid of you. They're intimidated by you. Because you're different. They're intimidated by you because you're different. David had always been different from his brothers. Even as a teenager, he looked better. We already discussed that, how he came in from the field looking better than them. Even as a teenager, he looked better, looked healthier, though he never worked out other than in the field. He was bright-eyed, full of hope, and stronger than all seven of his brothers, strong enough to rip a lion and bear apart on a daily basis with his bare hands. Strong enough to defeat Goliath. He was strong enough to defeat Goliath when his older brothers, as a part of the Israelite army, they were all afraid and intimidated by the giant. Read 1 Samuel 17 for the details. Face it, you are different from the rest. You are different from the rest. You've always been different. And the difference in you stands out. And the difference in you stands out and makes some insecure people, and it makes some insecure people afraid, intimidated. Number five, another reason why people are afraid of you, intimidated by you, and choose to avoid you, last but not least, is the anointing. Even though David's brothers and his father tried to prevent it from happening by keeping him out in the field away from the audition, while each of his brothers tried out for the kingship, David was still anointed king. 1 Samuel 16. Beloved, what God has for you, it is for you. Nobody can stop it. Not family, not friends, not foes. And since they can't stop it, they can't control it or understand it, it makes no sense to their secular minds what God is doing in your life. They become afraid, intimidated, and they avoid you. You have the plague. They see how God has brought you out of the field and put you behind a desk. They see how God has taken you off government assistance and into your own business. They see how God has given you your own home from the ground up. And they don't understand none of it because they know where you came from. They see that your relationship with the Father is no joke and how he uses you to help other people. They see how you've changed. This is the big one. They see how you've changed. They see how you have changed, and they haven't. And it makes them afraid, intimidated. So the only thing they know to do is avoid you. In their mind, you become the problem, so they must avoid you. You're not sick like David was and lamenting in tonight's foundational text. Thank God you're not sick like David was and lamenting in tonight's foundational text, giving people a reason to avoid you for fear of contracting something. You're not sick, but you are exactly like David was growing up into his anointing. And, oh, yes, people do have a good reason for avoiding you. So let them. I know you're tired of it, but let them. Because if you really needed them to be who you are, they wouldn't be avoiding you. If you really needed them to be who you are, they wouldn't be avoiding you. This is a lesson I've learned. Father God, thank you for making this message clear for every listener that needs to understand why they're being avoided, even by family. Help them to accept the way people are acting around them, knowing it's really just because they're insecure and can't handle who they are. Help them to accept being avoided and know that they're not losing anything by not being around that person, and that person not being around them. In Jesus' name, amen. David had to be avoided in order to be king. Hear me tonight. David had to be avoided in order to be king. You can't hang around with a crowd and not expect your surroundings to crowd the anointing. You can't hang around with a crowd and not expect your surroundings to crowd the anointing. The anointing needs space. The anointing needs space, time alone with God. And again, I say, if you really needed them to be who you are, they wouldn't be avoiding you. With that being said, if you're not saved, and right standing with God, but you desire to be on tonight. Repeat after me. Father God, I am a sinner who is ready to change. I believe Jesus is Lord. I want him to be my Lord and Savior. I open up my heart and receive him by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. On the other hand, because there are others of you on the phone line tonight, I can feel you. There are others of you online tonight, I can feel you, on the podcast, on iTunes. On the other hand, if you know God, but you are backslidden, have turned your back on the ways of God, repeat after me. Father God, I repent of every way I have picked up that's not your ways. And I ask, take me back into your presence. Let me feel you again. I want to live for you again. I'm sorry, Lord. Thank you for another chance. Help me get it right this time. In Jesus' name, amen. And as usual, if you need prayer or Bible-based consultation, you can always call me at 865-408-8690. You can call or text that number, 865-408-8690, or email prolificfire@gmail.com. That's prolificfire@gmail.com. However, if you're on the phone lines right now, via Blog Talk Radio, and you have a specific prayer request in your head, press 1 on your phone. Press 1 on your phone, and I will be right with you after these last few announcements. I will be glad to pray with you after these last few announcements. Just press 1 on your phone, and I will be right with you. If you're somebody that needs this ministry's PayPal information or Cash App information, go to paypal.me/prolificfire, or the Cash App information, Cash App, the money symbol, Prolific Fire. The P in Prolific is capital, the F in Fire is capital, and it's all written together, Prolific Fire. As usual, you can find me on Twitter at Prolific Fire, on Instagram at Property Stacy. Like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page, and be sure to join us on Faith on the Line with Property Stacy this Friday for awesome time in prayer and encouragement. If you don't get your prayer request in tonight for whatever reason, you have a second opportunity to do so Friday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific, by calling 347-426-3782. You know the number that many of you called tonight, 347-426-3782. Your prayer request will be taken then too, so call in. Then join me back here on Prolific Fire, same night, time, and place, when the message will be healing for leaders. If you're a leader in any capacity and you're going through some things and you feel like you don't have anybody to talk to, be sure to tune in Monday night, 10 Eastern, 9 Central, 7 Pacific, by calling the same number, 347-426-3782, or going to blogtalkradio.com/prolificfire and listen to the message, Healing for Leaders. This message is for you, Healing for Leaders. And for those of you that don't know, the vision statement for Prolific Fire is Prolific Fire, seeking to help you where you hurt, which simply means we deal with real issues using the Bible as a reference.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. But I must ask one more time, is there anybody on the phone line tonight in need of prayer? If so, press 1 on your phone. I don't want nobody to say that they didn't get the opportunity. So if you're on the phone line and you need prayer, just press 1. Going once, going twice, going 3 times. There seems to be no live prayer request tonight, but you have a second opportunity on Friday. So tune in with us then. Say God be the glory. Everybody have a good night.